blame shifting in our lives. You know, how do we get to the point where we begin to move away from blame shifting? And not until we do this are we going to get better. Let me give you three things, and I'm done this morning. Number one, you got to take full responsibility for your actions. Yeah, when you do something, take responsibility for it. Just, yo, don't try to cast it at my wife, the devil, God, my circumstances. You take responsibility for yourself.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, The Blame Game. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Blame Game.
The cover-up is disobedience. And many times, my brothers and sisters, if we would just do what it is that we're supposed to do, we wouldn't have to make an excuse, because what needed to be done would have been taken care of, and we wouldn't have reason for an excuse. The second devastation of excuses is that excuses hide what we don't want other people to see. Oh, wow, I don't want anybody to know that I've been disobedient. I don't want anybody to know that I've been a sluggard. I don't want anybody to know that I got these issues that are going on that are sinful in my life. And so what do? We cast off on somebody else. We excuse to hide what we don't want other people to see. Look at verse 7. It says, and the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons for themselves. What were they trying to do? They were trying to hide. There was something that they didn't want people to see. And so they began to hide, and excuses, when we make them, they help us to hide what we don't want other people to see. Now, you know, I'm the pastor of the church. I don't want other people to know that I've been lazy or I've been slothful. So let me make up an excuse as to why I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I'm a member of a church, and I'm involved in a ministry, and I was supposed to do something. But let me make up an excuse, because I really don't want people to see me for who I really am. I don't want to take the hit on this. Excuses cover up our disobedience. Excuses hide what we don't want other people to see. Excuses hinder us from effectively dealing with the guilt in our lives. Whenever we have been disobedient, guilt comes on us, and we have to deal with the guilt. But if we can make an excuses, then we can sidetrack, we can skate around those feelings of condemnation and those feelings of guilt. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not to? Isn't it amazing that when he ate the fruit, that the first thing that him and Eve did is they went and they got some fig leaves and they hid themselves. Why did they hide themselves? Because they became aware. And guilt began to infiltrate their minds and their hearts and their spirits. And there was this feeling of guilt that had just come all over them. And they realized that guilt was there. And instead of getting down on their knees and crying out to God and asking God to help them to deal with the guilt, that when God came, Adam said, the woman that you gave me. Look, man, you need to deal with your guilt. You got issues in your life. You need to deal with your issues. Don't pass it off on your wife. Husbands blaming wives and wives blaming husbands. You know, there's enough blame to go around in this whole relationship. And we need to realize, and I'm speaking to married people now, that we need to realize that 99.9% of the time, one person is not the only person to blame. That there's enough blame to go around for everybody. And we need to realize that whenever we have to address an issue with our husband or our wife, You know, the most effective way to do it, and I'm just trying to help somebody out here today. I'm trying to help somebody today because, you know, you may be in the middle of something with your spouse. Right now, you may be in the middle of it. So I'm going to help somebody today. The Holy Ghost is talking to you up in here today. That the first thing that you can do is go to your mate and say, look, we are in this condition, and this is how I have contributed to it. This is my part in it. But now what do we want to do? If you, from that point there, you are fighting a losing battle. You done already lost the battle. Any kind of reconciliation or building up, edification that you were trying to do to your marriage and to this relationship and to this issue, you just killed it right there. And why do we approach things like that? Because we don't want to take the blame. You know, it's easy for me to blame my wife, or it's easy for me to blame my husband. So we need to realize that excuses hinder us from dealing with the guilt that we have. Now, some people are just cold-hearted, and they don't even feel any guilt. But if you got a heart at all, if you've done something wrong, and you know that you've done wrong, you need to be dealing with that guilt. But what happens, instead of us dealing with it and getting down and dirty and nitty-gritty with it, we make an excuse why we did it. And so excuses cause us to not deal effectively with the guilt. Excuses cause us from not accepting, or excuses keep us from accepting the responsibility of our actions. Look at Adam in verse 12. And he said, the woman that you gave me. See, what was he saying? I'm not responsible for this. Hey, you know, this is another fine mess you've gotten us into, Eve. You know, I'm not taking responsibility for this. You know, I like what Tony Evans says. He says that in the home, God is given structure. The man is the head of the home, and that the woman is to be in the home for support and encouragement, and that the woman is equal, but God has placed the man as at the head of the home. So when God comes and there's a problem in the home, God don't come to the children, God don't come to the wife, God comes to the man. And so, in other words, I remember Sinbad. I was listening to Sinbad one time, and he was talking about Dracula. And he said, Dracula, he said, I don't mess with Dracula. He said, werewolves, I don't mess with them. He said, I could be with a woman. I can be with a lady. And if Dracula start running after us, I'm going to take off. And if it looked like she getting ready to pass me, I'm going to trip her. What did Adam do? He tripped Eve. He tripped her. He threw her under the bus. Instead of Adam taking responsibility and say, look, man, you know, this is all on me. He threw his wife under the bus. But, you know, Adam is no different than many of us today. You know, we throw our wives under the bus. We throw our husbands under the bus. Instead of us dealing with the issue and accepting responsibility, we throw people under the bus. And then we see that excuses shift the blame to other people. Excuses shift the blame to other people. The woman that you gave me. I was in my study for this message. I read a very interesting article. And it's written by a counselor. And this lady writes to him about her husband who has an issue with pornography. Listen to this. Dear Dr. David, your article on when trying to change him is hurting you could have been written by me except for a few details. My husband lives a double life and is addicted to pornography. I have caught him on some of the most atrocious sites. And every time I catch him, he makes excuses for why he was on them. My husband is generally a responsible man. He has a good job, is a good father, but in this one area, he has a problem. What really frustrates me is that he won't take responsibility for his actions. He makes excuses, minimizes how often he is on the porn sites, and has even blamed me for his addiction. He says things, if things were better between us, he would have no reason to go to the site. His argument drives me crazy. Sometimes I feel like I'm the one to blame, even though that doesn't make any sense. He stares at me and tells me he wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for me. How can this possibly be my fault? Even though I know it isn't my fault, he can get me to doubting myself. Please help me out of this issue, confused and feeling guilty. Wow. This brother had blame shifted, even to the point where his wife was beginning to doubt herself, where she was beginning to look at his excuses and legitimize his excuses in herself and beginning to take the blame. You see, when we shift the blame, we affect negatively the lives of other people. And so God says, look, why don't you just step up? Why don't you man up and take responsibility? Let me share four objects of blame shifting. The first one is God. What did Adam say? The woman that you gave me. That you gave me. You see, God gets blamed for a lot of things. I don't know how many people that have gotten married, and in the beginning, you asked, oh, it was God told us to get married. I knew that God is telling me. You know, you know, I do a lot of counseling, do a lot of premarital counseling, and people will sit there and in your, God brought us together. God has us together. God this, God that. And then they get divorced. Well, I thought God brought you. See, you know, we blame a lot of things on God. And even excuses we blame on God. If God would have put the right people in my life, if God would have put me in the right situation, if God didn't give me this handicap, you know, God this, God that. Look at this. I didn't see this verse. This is a powerful verse. Proverbs 19 and verse 3. Proverbs 19 and verse 3. Powerful verse. And many times I read the book of Proverbs, this verse never jumped out at me like this before. Proverbs 19. And I'm going to read it in the King James, then I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Proverbs 19 and verse 3. It says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. People ruin their own lives by foolishness, and then they are angry with God. Hello. People ruin their own lives with foolishness, and then they blame God. You done made a mess out of your life, and God was talking to you, and God was trying to tell you to make the right decisions, and God wanted to lead you along the way, and you did everything contrary to his will and his way, and now that you end up in the situation that you're in, you don't want to take responsibility for it, and you blame God. Blame shifting. Blame shifting. Who else do we blame? We blame other people. The woman. God, I blame you that you gave me. But then I blame the woman. I'm casting it off on somebody else. I like this poem that I heard years ago. And it's talking about blaming other people. I went to a psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed to find out why I killed the cat and blackened my husband's eyes. He laid me on a downy couch to see what he could find. And here's what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in the trunk, so it naturally follows that I'm always drunk. When I was two, I saw my father kiss the maid one day, and that is why I now suffer from kleptomania. At three, I had feelings of ambivalence toward my brothers, and so it follows naturally I poison all my lovers. But now I'm happy, and now I learn the lesson that has been taught. Everything that's wrong with me is somebody else's fault. When are you gonna let it go? There was a video clip that I wanted to play this morning, and I didn't bring it. You know, it would have been too controversial. But Google Bob Newhart and Stop It on YouTube. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that. Bob Newhart, Stop It on YouTube. And there's this lady that comes to him, and she starts telling him all his problems. And he's a psychologist, and we know he said, "Stop it!" She goes on and bleeds her heart. Stop it! It's funny, but it's one of the most powerful videos that I've seen. It's not a Christian video now, and it's nothing vulgar or nasty in it. But sometimes, when we start blaming other people, I wonder if God just doesn't look down from heaven and just say, "Stop it! Stop it! Why you keep on doing that? Why you blaming somebody else? Why don't you take the responsibility for yourself? Stop it." We blame God. We blame other people. We blame the devil. Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. He gave that excuse to a lot of people. The devil made me do it. The guy was kissing another lady, and his wife saw him. She went up to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I was just whispering in her mouth." The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. We blame God. We blame other people. We blame the devil. We blame our circumstances. You know, If I wasn't in this situation, if I didn't have this situation, if I wasn't under these circumstances, everything would be all right. I think of Johnny Erickson Tata, who was crippled in a diving accident and couldn't do anything with her body at all. And she didn't give up. She had every excuse in the world to quit. She had every excuse in the world not to do something. But she fought through it and became one of the most powerful voices in the Christian world today. But other people will fall into a situation not as even bad as that, and they want to use it as an excuse not to do anything. Well, let me wrap this up and look at how do we overcome the lion of blame shifting. How do we overcome blame shifting in our lives? You know, how do we get to the point where we begin to move away from blame shifting? And not until we do this are we going to get better. Let me give you three things, and I'm done this morning. Number one, you got to take full responsibility for your actions. Yeah, when you do something, take responsibility for it. Just, you know, don't try to cast at my wife, the devil, God, my circumstances. You take responsibility for yourself. And as I said last week, you know, sometimes, and I wish I forgot to bring that slide from last week, but you know, I think we talked about five roots of excuses, just five of them. It comes from one of those five places. And so instead of us giving an excuse, you know, if we just have been procrastinating or we've been lazy, then we just need to say, instead of somebody asking you why you didn't get it done, we just need to say, "Look, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm a sluggard. We don't know how not." But see what? It's easier what? Easier what? Make an excuse, right? Instead of just me saying, "Look, man, I was just lazy." That's the bottom line. Or you know, we said lack of discipline. And so instead of somebody being late and blame it on the traffic or blame it on not being able to find your keys, let's just be honest. I didn't discipline myself to get here on. That's all right. That's all right. Is this microphone working, man? It's working? All right. I was getting a little concerned here, man. I didn't know. I thought maybe people didn't hear me. All right. And just say, man, like, you know, I mean, instead of giving an excuse, just say it was a lack of discipline. I had a person this week that, you know, I was supposed to get something to him, and the circumstances happened where I didn't get it to him. And I saw the person, and I said, "Look, I'm just going to apologize." I said, "I apologize to you." I said, "And it was just a lack of organization on my part. That's the bottom line. It's a lot. Yeah, you know what? My life, really, and hopefully God will continue to convict me, but my life and my thinking has been revolutionized. And once again, I realized You know, I preached a sermon last week. I realized the difference between a reason and an excuse. And there was no justifiable reason why I didn't get to that person. And I just had to tell them that, you know, I just wasn't disciplined enough to get it. You know, I'm not going to make any excuses about this person didn't do this or that person, even though that, no, just kidding. You know, I just didn't get it to you. We've got to begin to take full responsibility, you know, for our actions. Secondly, we've got to repent and ask God to forgive us when we do wrong. You know, we got, once again, that's a part of taking responsibility. If Adam would have got down on his knees and said, Lord God, oh God, you told us not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh God, my heart is so grieved that I was disobedient and that I didn't do what you asked me to do. Oh God, with your power and your help, I will try to obey you from this point on. Oh God, I'm so broken over the fact that I disappointed you. God, please forgive me. Restore me, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, make my broken bones to be healed again. Let me feel health in my spirit. Let me feel joy in my soul, Lord. If he'd have got down and confessed and repented, you know, I don't know that things would have been any different, what God laid out. I don't know that. But I would have to believe that Adam maybe would have went down in history having a little better reputation than he had, instead of saying, the woman that you gave me, the woman that you gave me. Take full responsibility for your actions, repent and ask God to forgive you of your wrong actions, and then number three, accept and deal with the consequences of your actions. If, you know, I'll be honest with you. This is me. If I'm late for a meeting, and you know, there's a whole bunch of information that has been gone out, you know, I don't come into the meeting expecting people to catch me up to speed. Oh man, Jeff, where's Jeff? Is there a battery in this microphone? That's just me. I just figure, man, the consequence of me not being here on time is that I missed that information, and at some point I'm going to have to try to make it up. I'm going to need to get with somebody, or somebody's going to have to bring me up on what happened. You know? Yeah, you got to deal with the consequences of your action. If something happened and it's going to make you look like you got egg on your face, then you know what? Just go ahead and put some salt and pepper. You can scramble it. You can poach it. You can boil it. Just go ahead and do it. The egg is there. But what we want to say, oh, man, you know what? I dropped the egg, you know, this morning, and it hit on my table, and it splashed up on my face. We want to make an excuse. Deal with the egg, man. Deal with the consequences. Don't try to minimize it. Don't try to lighten the blow. Deal with them. And don't make an excuse. And we go back to Solomon, who said, the lazy man says that there's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the way. Overcoming the lion of the street.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Blame Game, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blame Game. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blame Game, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.